You know, sometimes we have seminary classes, and sometimes we have Bible school classes. Today we're going to have a physics class. Have you ever had a physics class? Huh? Active physics. Have you had physics yet? Have you had science where you talk about physics kind of things yet?
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, our scripture reading this morning out of 2 Peter 1, verses 13 through 21, Peter is saying, we saw these things that we're talking about happening. And he said, we didn't just make up stories. We're not trying to make it so that people will believe it. We're just witnesses to what we saw, to the real life reality that we were a part of. And he was talking specifically about, among other things, the transfiguration of Jesus, where Jesus was glowing and Moses and Elijah show up. And one of my purposes this morning is I want to make these real to us. I want to put them in modern terms that we can understand and realize that these aren't just made-up stories. These aren't just some kind of God doing magic or CGI, but God was working within our created universe, as he always does, to show miracles and to show himself. And so I want to start, if I can, with explaining how light works, okay? You know, we see light, but what's happening is this light bulb here is generating photons. There's a lot of photons are coming out of it. These are tiny little, to be real honest with you, the scientists don't know if they're particles or waves because they act like a little of both. And so these photons are racing out from this light, and when they strike some special nerves in my eyes, in the back of my eyes, those nerves sense the frequency that the photons are vibrating at. If they're vibrating at a high frequency, then we see blue. If it's vibrating at a low frequency, we see red, and then all the different colors in between. And so it's these photons that are carrying energy from that light bulb to my eye. There's electrical energy, there's biological energy, there's all kinds of things that create photons, and I want to kind of give you an idea of how it works. By the way, if I try to put too much energy into one of these light bulbs, what happens to it? It burns out. That's right. And when the Bible tells us that fire came down from heaven and devoured people, that's what's happening. It's like the power of God, the presence of God, is so powerful that they burn up. Now, in other cases, and we're going to see the scriptures about this, the presence of God is there and it creates clouds. It creates glowing clouds. It creates people that glow. In other words, it causes photons to start coming off of things. Fire creates photons as atoms combine. If I take a piece of paper and set it on fire, what I'm doing is by raising the temperature of this paper, I'm causing the cellulose in this paper and the oxygen in the atmosphere to combine together. And when they combine, they create even more heat. In that process, they give off photons. But that's a situation where the paper is being consumed and photons are given off. In a light bulb, it's energy passing through the light bulb in a continuous way and the photons are given off. Let me tell you how the photons work, okay? You know kind of how atoms are? You have the nucleus of the atom, and then you have the electrons that run around the atoms. If I add energy to an atom, like by passing an electric current through it, or by adding heat to it, what happens is the electrons in the atom begin to spin faster and actually pop out to a new orbit. They come out to a new place where they're orbiting around the center of that atom. And it's almost like you take a balloon or this paper bag and I add air to it and it gets a little bigger. But what happens is the atom can't stay that way. It can't stay in this energetic state. And so what happens is it's like the air gets pushed out of the bag or the balloon. When the electrons pop back down to their normal orbit around the nucleus in this atom, that's when the energy that caused it to swell in the first place gets emitted as a photon. So it's like you put some energy in as heat or electricity. The energy gets absorbed initially, and then the atom kind of collapses, and the photon of that energy gets spit out. They say that on one of our optic nerves, there have to be at least 8 photons hit that nerve in a very short period of time before we sense light. So when we're seeing light from these light bulbs or reflected off of things, we're seeing thousands or millions of photons. There are billions of photons at a time. Now, there's another way that photons can be generated. Last week, one of the twins had gotten a glow-in-the-dark ring. Have you ever had that sort of thing? You know, you play with something that glows in the dark, and you hold it up to a light, and then quick you run to where it's dark, and we ran to the basement and turned all the lights out and stuff, and sure enough, you could see the shape of the ring. It was glowing. Well, that won't glow for very long. It'll eventually quit glowing. What's happening there is the photons from the light you hold it near are striking the atoms in that glow ring, causing them to swell up, and then slowly over time, they give that energy back in the way of photons. And so, you know, one atom here will give theirs up, and then another over here will collapse, and a photon will come off, and then another one over here, I mean, in that glow material. And it's the same way with radioactivity. With radioactivity, a molecule decays, an energetic particle is sent off, it hits other molecules, they absorb that energy, they swell up, and then when they collapse, a photon is given off. And so it looks like the material is glowing. So sometimes we see things that are consumed by fire, the fire is causing photons to come off, or electric current. Sometimes it's like radioactivity, but it's always energy being put into an atom, and then the atom gives back that energy in the form of a photon. When I am reading my Bible, I see black letters and white page, right? The photons from the lights around us are hitting the Bible, and in the white areas, the photons are reflected and hit my eye. But in the black areas, the photons are absorbed. Did you know that when I hold my Bible up close to this light, like this, that the ink actually heats up a little bit? Just a tiny, tiny amount? It's because the energy of those photons coming off light gets absorbed by the ink. And so that causes it to heat up. It gets a little bit warmer. Now, you can never measure it. It's not like you can carry it off and warm your hands by it. But the point is that photons are carrying energy from one place to another place. That's what they do. That's how we have green trees, we have beautiful flowers, we have pecans on pecan trees. All of these things come from the energy of the sun. Photons sent from the sun, they travel 92 million miles, they come through our atmosphere, and some of them eventually hit the leaves on the trees, and God designed those leaves to take that energy that comes from photons when it's absorbed by those leaves and turn it into good stuff, like flowers and pecans and peaches and whatever else you want. The energy to make all that stuff is literally coming from the sun, but it's carried to us by those photons. Our body is able to produce vitamin D because of the photonic energy that hits our skin. That's how God designed us. Turn to Leviticus 9. There are lots of instances in the Bible where there is so much of the energy of the presence of God that things actually get burned up. Remember the disciple asked Jesus, "Well, you want us to call fire down from heaven and burn these people up?" Well, what they were talking about was these kinds of things that are recorded here in the Old Testament. Leviticus 9, 23 and 24. "And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out and blessed the people, the glory of God appeared to all the people." Appeared means they saw it, right? And so what that means is they saw either a cloud or they saw some light. Usually when they talk about the glory of God, it's in the form of either a cloud or light. And then it says, then fire came down out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering that they had put on the altar and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. So the glory of God comes into the temple in a way that they can see it. And then all of a sudden, so much more glory of God or energy from God comes down out of heaven that all of a sudden everything just gets burned up. Numbers 16. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning. Because I want you to understand, these aren't pretend stories. This is a reality of things that have happened, and I want to see happen in our lives. Numbers 16:35. Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. Now, these were people that were going against God's law and said, I'm going to do just kind of whatever I want to. And God said, oh, yeah? It's like putting too much electricity through the filament in this light bulb right here. We're just going to burn up the light bulb. We'll put in so much energy that it'll burn it up. That's what happened to these guys. Now, I would say generally that's the kind of energy from God you don't want to be around, okay? I mean, sometimes we want God to burn impurities away from us, but not burn us plumb up. Okay, Exodus 3, verses 1 through 6. Man, we've read this one a lot in the last few months. And so we'll kind of read it quickly. Let's start in verse 2. Angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Now, let me ask you something. Remember we were reading in the New Testament this morning about on the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus started to glow? Appearance became very bright. Now, these disciples had never seen anything like that. They had never seen a glow in the dark ring. They didn't have a clue. They'd never seen a light bulb. They'd never seen all kinds of things that we just take for granted today. You know, today if we'd have been on that mountain with Jesus and all of a sudden he started glowing, we'd go, whoo, wow, dude, look at that. That's pretty cool. But these folks, they were afraid. They were scared out of their minds because they didn't know what was going on. Well, this is the same with Moses here. You know, if we saw a bush that was emitting photons, I mean, that's what you think of when you say something's on fire, right? It looks like it's burning. There's lots of light coming away from it. I mean, that's the only way they knew to produce light. You produce light by the moon, by the sun, and by you burn something. It's not like you turn your flashlight on, your little LED flashlight, and make light. That was not one of the options. And so Moses describes this as the bush was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. Well, what that means is the bush was glowing. The energy of God was so strong in that area that the molecules were swelling up and then collapsing back down and spitting out photons of light all over the place. So they were transferring this energy in the form of light. And Moses said, I got to turn aside and see this marvelous sight. Why is this bush not being burned up? And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, he said, Moses, Moses. And of course, Moses goes, huh? Because he doesn't see anybody around. He says, here I am. God says, don't come any closer. Now, I think that God told Moses not to come any closer because there was a risk of Moses being killed because there was so much energy from the glory and the power of God that was flowing through this tiny little concentrated area. It's being concentrated in this one bush. God says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. So, bush on fire, that means it's bright, it's creating light, that means lots of photons, that means lots of energy from God. Turn to Exodus 13. Exodus 13, verses 20 through 22. Then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them in the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, we've all heard the story of the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, right? If it was fire in the sense that we think of consuming something, like burning up this paper, and that was generating the photons, then everywhere that pillar of fire went, it would have caught the wilderness on fire. I mean, all the bushes, all the grass, you know. But it didn't. It would have caught the people on fire that got too close, but it didn't do that. My theory from what little science I know, is that God was taking this space in front of the Israelites, and he was concentrating his power and glory there in such a way that there was this huge flow of energy out of the spirit world into our world in this column of air. And what would happen is at night, it would look like it was glowing, and so they would call it a pillar of fire. In the day, though, this concentration of energy was causing the water in the air to condense around it, and so it looked like a cloud. You see what I'm saying? And so it was still glowing during the day. They just couldn't see it glowing. It's just like there's stars still shining during the day, but I can't see them because the sun is so bright. And so you couldn't see the glow of that fire because it was being overpowered by the sun. But the point is, for 40 years, God was able to concentrate his energy, his super energy, in a very small space that ended up being a guide for them. Let's see, Exodus 24. Exodus 24, verses 16 through 18. You see, it's not magic. There's a reality here. There's something real that's happening that these people are writing about. And the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. So this is a situation where the power of God, the glory of God, is so concentrated all around this mountain that the mountain gets covered with a cloud, and the cloud stays there for 6 days. That's because any air molecules that moved into this area, whatever water was in them, they dumped it out in the form of a cloud. And this is also what's kind of neat about it, because it says that on the seventh day, Moses was called in the midst of the cloud, and to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. I mean, this is like out of some kind of science fiction movie. You got, you know, the cloud rolls in and covers a mountain, and then pretty soon it starts glowing and roiling and stuff like that, like in E.T. or something. And that's what they were seeing. It was like, oh, there's a fire up on top of the mountain. But the fire stayed there like 4 days. That's, you know, this is barren place. You can't find enough wood to keep a fire going that long up on the top of a mountain. This is God's presence is so strong that the photons are just jumping out of anything that it gets near and making light. Looks like it's glowing at the top of the mountain. And Moses entered the midst of the cloud, and he went up to the mountain, and Moses was there for 40 days and 40 nights. So the cloud and the fire were there for that long. That's pretty amazing. Now, let's go to our Old Testament reading that Maureen read this morning in Exodus 34, starting in verse 29. And it came about when Moses was coming down from the mountain, and he had the two tablets of testimony with him. And Moses didn't know that his skin was glowing because God had been talking to him. And so when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, and they saw that his skin was shining, they were afraid to come near him. Well, I guess they were. I mean, again, they've never seen a flashlight. They've never seen a glow-in-the-dark ring. They've never seen a light bulb, you know. I mean, matter of fact, if my skin were glowing right now, what would y'all think? I mean, maybe we better get the fire extinguisher out. Maybe this boy's been eating too much plutonium or something. We better not get too close to this boy. I mean, you know, what in the world would you think, even in our modern age of technology? And so they were afraid. And so if you keep reading this, you discover what Moses had to do. Moses would go into the temple. God would be there. His presence would be so strong that energy from God, that goodness or glory from God, was causing the molecules of Moses' skin to be so excited that even after he left, they were still giving off photons of light, giving off some of the energy that they had absorbed in the presence of God. He had to put a veil over his face so people couldn't see. He'd take the veil off to talk to them, and they'd stand at a big distance. And then when he had to go home and have supper, you know, he'd put the veil down so he didn't scare his wife out of her mind. Moses, turn over, cover your face. I want to go to sleep. Turn the light out. I mean, just think about that. So just what was the incident up there on the mountain with Moses and God that caused Moses' face to glow? I mean, it's certainly him just being up there and with the glow of the Father, etc. But there was another instance that happened that I think kind of sealed this glowing skin, at least for a while, excited his skin molecules for a while. Turn to Exodus 33. Turn to Exodus 33. And we're going to look at verses 18 through 23. Moses is up on the mountain. This is right before Moses comes down with a glowing skin. Moses and God are talking with one another, and Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And God said to him, I myself will make my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to you, and I will be gracious and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Now notice that Moses says, let me see your glory. And God says, I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. So my thinking is that this glory of God, this energy, is actually coming from energy of goodness that flows through the Father. He is so good, it just flows like energy here in our realm. Then God continues on and says, but you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. And again, I am sure what God is talking about here is, Moses, if you got caught up in the incredibly intense energy field of my goodness and my glory, you got too close, you'd just be consumed. You'd be like the filament in a light bulb, and you pass too much electricity through that light bulb, and the filament just burns out. And I'm pretty sure that's what we're talking about here. And so then the Lord says, behold, there's a place near where I am, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about that while my glory is passing by, see again, now God uses the term glory, even though before he used the term goodness, while my glory is passing by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. That's a cut or a space in the rock. There was a groove there that a man could fit into. And what God is saying is, you're going to have to wedge yourself back into this cut in the rock so that there's just a little bit of space that's exposed as I come by. And then he says, I'm going to cover you with my hand until I've passed by. And then I'll take my hand away and you can see my back, but my face you can't see. So I'm guessing that this glory, goodness radiates primarily from God's face. You know, light is like sound in that when it is radiating from a source, the power or the intensity of the light decreases by the square of the distance away. In other words, if I'm standing a foot away from this light and then I move 2 feet away, well, the light that's hitting my eyes doesn't diminish by half, it diminishes by a quarter. And then if I move to 4 feet away, it diminishes by another quarter. And so I suspect that God was taking advantage of this property, that the energy radiating, the goodness, glory, energy, whatever it is, radiating from God, diminishes as the square of the distance. And so God was keeping himself a good distance from Moses so he didn't burn him up, just like God wanted Moses to stay away from that burning bush. Don't get too close, Moses, because if you do, you're going to get burned up. So this is the situation is, you talk about having an encounter with God. They're not just talking a little bit. It's not just an audible voice. It's not just a little light coming out of heaven, maybe as bright as noonday sun. It's not, man, this is truly the physical glory of God, and Moses has been exposed to that. Just like if you were exposed to enough radiation, you might glow. Moses was exposed to this radiation, and so he glowed. And then we go on in Exodus 34, seeing how he came down and he was glowing and had to put a cloth over his face, etc. Okay, 2 Kings. This is real stuff happening to real people. I want to get to the place where we see the presence of God. The energy of the presence of God is so concentrated and so alive that we see clouds and lights. see folks and stuff glow. 2 Kings 2, 11 through 14. And again, I may not have time to read all of this, but this is where Elijah gets carried up by the chariots of fire. And then it came about that as they were going along and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in the whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha cries out, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And then he didn't see him anymore. Now, it's possible that Elisha is seeing real chariots of some kind and real horses, and they're glowing because of this great energy of the power of God. They're obviously not being consumed, so they're not on fire. I mean, he calls them chariots of fire, but because they didn't burn up, they're chariots of the energy, so, you know, lots of energy is flowing through them, and they're glowing. Look at 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17, where Elisha has been surrounded. And when the attendant of the men of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and real chariots, not of fire, were circling the city. And he was afraid, and he said, "Alas, my master, what will we do?" And he says, "Don't be afraid, man. We got more with us than they got with them." And this guy's going, "Huh?" And so Elisha asked God to open his servant's eyes so he can see into the spirit world. And when he does, in the spirit world, this is what he says. It says that, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when he saw these in the spirit world, it was like these angels, these beings that had come to protect them, were giving off photons of the spirit world, whatever that is, you know. And so I don't know if Elisha was just glimpsing into the spirit world when he sees Elijah get carried away by horses and chariots of fire, or if they were seeing some kind of real chariots and horses that just happened to be kind of like Moses. You know, they'd been so much in the presence of God, they were glowing. Well, I'm going to stop here today, and we'll finish this next time, because there are lots of examples in the Word of this energetic presence of God. And I want to talk next time also about a real-life, modern-day example of that that's happened to us, where we have seen the glory of God in a column of fire. And so be sure and tune in next time, and we'll pick up on this and hopefully set in your heart a desire to be evermore in the presence of God.